Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, often reminded us that no matter what challenges we face, we are never beyond the care and guidance of our Savior. Through the teaching of God's Word, countless people have found comfort, strength, and renewed hope. Today, we continue our series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at Jesus' words, I am the door. Today, we stay in John chapter 10 and turn our attention to the declaration, I am the good shepherd. May the Lord encourage your heart as you listen. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy that we can come. We always thank you for opening your doors or to your homes or your tractors or your cars or wherever you are. And all over the world, we're going to worship the wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And we're working on the series now called On the I Ams of Jesus. So today we're going to look at the word Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. But before we do that, we want to look at Psalm 93, the opening verses. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, and wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, and it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods are lifted up, O Lord, the floods are lifted up their voice, and the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And, O Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a great God. There is none like unto you. And yet you are mindful of every one of us, no matter who we are or where we are or what we've done. Yet you love us and you're mindful of us and you want us to come to you, confess our sins and find everlasting life. And so we pray in this service today, multitudes will come and come to the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Jan is going to start us out today with Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God bless you, Jan.
Oh,
Well, thank you, Jan. You couldn't have picked a beautiful, more beautiful song. You know, with the first Sunday in June, I've been preaching 75 years. And I started out in a little church, a First Baptist church in Belfour, South Dakota. And I started every service with Holy, Holy, Holy. I love that song, and I got a multitude of memories. And I think of that little church when I first started out. Every last one of them is in eternity. And I just pray that they put their faith in Jesus. And I know many of them did, and I pray all of them did. Well, we have to read some letters. I had a couple of young people in. They said, we really like to hear the letters, because sometimes they're asking questions and they kind of hate to say anything. So we're going to share some of them. And I'll give the address in just a few minutes, so get a pencil and paper, and maybe you could write to us. And we'd really like that. First one is from Bronson, Missouri. And this one person writes, when we are unable to go to church because of health reasons or bad weather, we always listen and watch your service. It's a real blessing to us. Keep up the good work. God has blessed you with an unusually good health for your age. And so I do give him thanks for that, because, you know, I know that God gives us the time to be born. He gives us the time to die. And he's been good to me, and I've been able to use all those years for the Lord. And, I remember starting out some of my sermons, oh, dear Lord, have mercy. But I stayed with it, and most of them stayed with me, although I had some just couldn't stand it, and they just left. But others, God sent some other people, so away we went. Well, here's a letter from Omaha, Nebraska. As a young child on my grandmother's grandparents' farm near Sioux Falls, we would watch Pastor Salem when we couldn't make it to a service. I grew up, joined the military, and have been all over. During a snowstorm a few months ago, I found his familiar voice, and 35 years disappeared. I was back in Grandma's kitchen. What a blessing to hear the word spoken to share with my children. I love my local church family, but this connection over the years and miles is such a blessing too. Thank you for Jesus and for his servant, his obedience to you, and over the television stations. And so some of you have been with us a long time. You know, we've been now a little over 40 years preaching the gospel. And we hear from people. I heard from a letter from a boy in nine. He said he was in 9 years old when he first heard the telecast, and he's been listening ever since. Can you imagine that? He's going to get a star in his crown, believe me. Sit through that. God bless him. Here's Tupelo, Mississippi. Always blessed to see and hear the Christian Worship Hour. Always uplifting and encouraging. I have your picture in front of my computer and pray for Christian Worship Hour every day. God is doing a wonderful work with Christian Worship Hour. When you talk to Jesus, remember me and my family in your prayers. My wife is disabled. May God bless you and you, my friend and brother. So we are so thankful when we get a letter from people and they're praying for us. If all of you Christians would pray for us, oh, we could reach multitudes with the gospel and pray that their hearts will be open to the Lord and they'll come to know Jesus. But then there are others too that are of a great age and they're having troubles in their older age. There are some young people have real struggles and trials, and even children can be bullied at school and they have their problems. And so God says, he told Isaiah, I want you to go and preach. And he says, comfort ye my people. That's what we're doing. We have three things in mind. We want to honor God, want to comfort his people, want to bring people to Jesus. So just pray for us. You pray, God will do the rest. Take care of it. Well, here's Langdon, North Dakota, up north of us here. And they said, I pray every day that you'll be able to continue your work until the Lord calls us home. I'll see you in heaven when our time comes. And I thought, I'm underlining that, our time comes, because it'll come to each one of us. And we want to be sure we're ready when it comes. It'll come to you. If the Lord tarries, if he doesn't return, then he'll come. The death angel will come. They'll come. And you need to know the Lord, and you need to have your sins taken care of. You need to have Jesus in your heart. And that's why we talk it over and over and over. Pray on the name of the Lord. Ask Jesus and just tell him simply, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you and I'll forsake them and follow you in Jesus' name." And it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means that you're walking by Jesus. You're walking the best way you can to honor Jesus. And he knows your heart. He knows if you're trying or if he knows you're just putting on. And what do we call them? Hypocrites? Oh, boy, we don't want nothing to do with them. So here, but all we want the hypocrites to come to Jesus too. Don't misunderstand me. Maybe you're the biggest hypocrite in town, and we want you to accept Jesus, and then you can become like Jesus. Here's Brandon in Florida. "I want to thank you so much for your television program every week. It means so much to me. I'm 83 years old, and I live alone. I was a pastor's wife for 38 years. It's very encouraging to see a man like you who is 97 years old. I'm 98 now," since she wrote, "and still preaching God's word. May God richly bless you. Thank you for your ministry." Well, a pastor's wife, I had a pastor's wife for 59 and a half years, Beulah. And she stood with me and she helped me. And, sometimes I had sermons. They were pitiful. That's all you can say, just pitiful. She never say I had a bad sermon, ever. Sometimes she wouldn't say a lot, but she'd always say, "You did a good job," or "I had a good idea," or "I appreciate that," or something. She never says, "Oh, were you trying to say something today?" Or did she say, or she could say, like somebody said, "Have you ever thought about trying a different profession?" "No, I haven't." But, you know, she stood with me. God bless her. Now I can't wait to see her in heaven. Here's Madrid, Iowa. And they write, "I've been watching your show for about a year. I love your sermons. I have said the prayer to ask Jesus into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I live alone. My mother and father are gone. God bless you and keep up the good work. Please send me the Bible study, the new song. I'm sending a donation. More to come. God bless you." And so the new song, and we put out a little paper every month. It's called The New Song. And it's a little Bible study. And then we also have the sermons we're going to preach. We have the texts where you can find them in the Bible. And we have devotionals. And we got all a lot of, it's just, we really ought to charge for it. Just really should have a subscription. But we are such nice people. We're so good-hearted and big-hearted. Send it free. And what can you get free today? Not much. But this is a wonderful little, the new song. And our Bible study this month, is 8 ways to overcome discouragement. You ever get down in the blues? You get down, you know, lower than a snake's belt buckle, and really down low, and you didn't know which way to turn? Well, there's 8 ways. All comes from the Bible. You know, we're not thinking what people think or what people say, the psychologists or all of these guys that study the brain. I don't know what they learned. Maybe, I guess they're all right. Anyway, but we're just preaching this wonderful gospel and this wonderful Jesus. He comes to us and he helps us. And so all of these 8 reasons come from the Bible. Well, let's see. Niagara Falls, New York. And they said, "I'm writing to ask for prayer. And if you have a devotional, please send it to me. I am going to be to the hospital for bone surgery. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." Yeah, aren't those beautiful words? She accepted Jesus. That's the most important thing in the whole world. And I think the next most important thing is who you marry. And then maybe what profession you're going in. But I know the most important decision you're ever going to do is what will you do with Jesus? I'm presenting Jesus to you, and you have to do something with him. You have to accept him, or you have to reject him, or you can do what the devil says, put it off. put it off. See, maybe I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit is talking to you and applying the word of God, and you feel like, I want Jesus. I should have Jesus. And then there'll be a voice that says, well, put it off. Why don't you wait till your anniversary? Why don't you wait till Christmas? Why don't you do, you know who's telling you that? The devil. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll never tell you that. He'll just tell you, put it off. Put it off until it's too late, see. So if Jesus is talking to you and you say, well, I don't hear any voice, but there's just something in your heart that you know you want Jesus. You need Jesus, see. And so then you just say, dear Jesus, I just, in your own words, maybe you've never prayed before, never talked to the Lord before. Just talk to him, and you just talk to him and say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take them all away. And I'll live for you. I'll turn from my sins. And thank you, Jesus. Had a man pray that, some time ago. And he prayed and he didn't know. I don't think he ever prayed before. And so he prayed that prayer after me. And when he got done, he says, goodbye. So, fine. That's the first time that God heard from him. And so just talk to Jesus. Don't get fancy or anything else. Just in your own words, talk to Jesus, see. That's what he did when he was here. He talked to people. He told parables and things like that. They understood everything he said. He understood them. Don't make it too hard, but do it. Don't put it off. What have I got here? One more. Oh, I hate to run out of these letters. But anyway, one more. Buffalo, Minnesota. I enjoy your sermon every week and all the letters. Watching your program makes me feel as if I'm there. I do not enjoy the large places of worship today. A person can get lost going to the restroom. This is somebody like me who lived out on the farm, and they have these mega churches. My goodness sakes. You know where these mega churches get all their people? Get them from the little church. Yeah, they get all our little churches. But that's good. We're glad to support them. And so he says, a person get lost going to the restroom. You preach from the Bible, and that's what is important. Too many tell you what the Bible, biblical person meant instead of what the Bible says. Prayers and blessings to all and continued good health. And so here she is. She just knows that the Holy Spirit, she says she feels as if the Holy Spirit is talking to her. And that's when the Holy Spirit might not be a voice or anything like that, but there's just something says, I really want Jesus. I need Jesus. And I want Jesus. And he wants me and he loves me. He died for me on the cross. When he died on the cross, he could see my face. And I love him. And I want to come to him. And so you just make that prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. And so if you want to do that, you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57401. And God bless you, everyone. Now Jan's going to play for us. God bless you, Jan. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from John's Gospel, John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, and I know some of you do. And you read your Bible along with us. And John is easy to find. As a matter of fact, it's a favorite book of the Bible for me, is the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, verse 14. And Jesus is talking about how one of the great I Ams. And by the way, in our prayer today, we are going to pray for the persecuted church in Sudan. So they'll know we have them on our heart. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among them, for the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, This is not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for opening the eyes of the blind, and thank you for opening my eyes. 10 years old, and I came to you and made that prayer, and they came into my heart, and you've been there for 88 years, and you'll be with me all the way to glory, and then I'll be with you in heaven forever and ever. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish. You want everybody to come to you, everybody to make that prayer. And we pray that during our service today, many, many will pray and just ask you to come into their heart, take away their sins, and they give their life to you and live for you. Dear Lord, we want to pray for the persecuted church in Sudan. And we know that these are hard times. More Christians are dying for you now than in any time in history. And so we just pray, dear Jesus, help them to know that we, in other churches in the world, that we're all part of the body of Christ and we're praying for them. And help them to be brave. And, oh, God, I wonder if I could do it. And I just don't know. And so help them and just be with them. And, Lord, we know they're going to wear a martyr's crown. They're going to be honored for that. So just help them and bless them. Now, Lord, speak to hearts today. May many come to know you. And may many who are trying to make decisions, hard decisions, give them wisdom and guidance and direction. Especially bless the young people, dear Lord. They have so many trials, and just help them, give them strength to live above everything. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get to preach, Hank's going to sing Trust and Obey. So God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, no fear, Not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go, and never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you, Hank. That's exactly right. Hank and I have been friends for about 60 years, 50, 60 years. He doesn't look that old. He started out awful young, but we've been together, and he's a dear brother. And that's exactly what we need to do. Trust Jesus and obey Jesus, and you're bound to be happy. You may not be the richest, and on the other hand, you might get rich. I don't know. Some of these Christians get rich, too. But that doesn't matter. You have Jesus, and you're serving Jesus. Well, we're looking at this, another I Am today, the fifth one. We've on eight I Ams, who are number five. And it's I Am the Good Shepherd. In this passage, Jesus tells us, he kind of mixes two I Ams together. He says, I am the door, and he says, I am the good shepherd. And there's a relationship between the two, and that's why God puts them so close together. In the preceding chapter, chapter 9, we have the story of a man who was born blind, and he's healed by Jesus. And the man's faith grew in Jesus until at last he fell down and worshiped God, worshiped Jesus as God. And the Pharisees didn't like this. They didn't like it at all. And they were so upset with the man, they put him out of the synagogue, excommunicated him. Now, to some people, if you'd get excommunicated from your church, you'd never know the difference. You don't go anyway. But to the Jewish people, that was their life. That was a very important part of their life, and not to be able to go into the temple would be just almost like death, maybe worse than death. And so Jesus comes, and he says to this man, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, the good could be put that way. There were many shepherds in Israel and that were not good. They were bad shepherds, and you couldn't trust them. And the Pharisees were to be shepherds too, because those in leadership were to be guiding the people and helping the people. And here they were trying to put Jesus to death. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, took this man who'd been born blind, and I can see, but he's excommunicated. He took him in, and he brought him into his fold. They won't let you into their fold, will you? Then you can come into my fold if you'd like. And the whole picture points us, is takes place in the Middle East, because it's a parable of the picture of a shepherd and a fold and the sheep. And that's there, they have them there today, just as it was written in the book of John. They're figures in constant use. And they were and with the shepherds, they were in authority. They had authority over the church, people. over the sheep, and they took care of the sheep. And so as the shepherd is the king, and the king is a shepherd, as in his authority is on how he took care of his sheep. And many of them didn't take good care of their sheep. Like I say, the Pharisees, they were just with evil with the sheep. And so Jesus, it was then that Jesus said, I'm the door. And so by the door, you could come into the sheepfold and be safe and be cared for. And then but he goes on to says, I am the shepherd. I'm always the doorway into the fold, but I'm also the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There are many titles and pictures of shepherds throughout the Old Testament. For instance, Abel was one of the shepherds. And it says in Genesis 4, verse 2, Abel was a keeper of sheep. We see in Abel then the death of the shepherd. Abel, because Abel was slain, and he's a shepherd, and he was slain by Cain. He was slain by wicked hands. He was slain by his brother according to the flesh. And here Jesus comes, and he is slain by wicked hands, and he's slain by those in his own flesh, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. And so he's a picture. Abel then is a picture how he's a keeper of the sheep and how he's slain for the sacrifice for the sheep. Jacob was also a shepherd. And we see tender care for the sheep in the life of Jacob. For instance, in Genesis 33, verse 13, he talks about the lambs and caring for the sheep. He says, Jacob replied, as you can see, some of the children are small, and the flocks and herds have their young, and if they are driven too hard, they will die. So you go on ahead of us, and we'll follow at our own pace and meet you at Seir. A picture of Jesus caring for his sheep forever and ever. He's mindful of our needs. He's mindful of the lambs. He's mindful of our weaknesses. He's mindful of our infirmities. He knows that we're in the flesh because he came in the flesh, and he knows exactly where we're at. And when we say that our hearts ache, he knows exactly what we're talking about. Then Joseph also was a shepherd. And the very first thing recorded about Joseph is that he fed the flock. Fed the sheep. Genesis 37, verse 2. Joseph was a favorite son of Jacob because he was obedient, he was kind, he was forgiving, and that he fed the flock. He took care of the sheep. So Jesus, God's only begotten son, God's favorite, feeds God's flock just like Joseph did. And then Moses, you know, was a shepherd. Three things are recorded about Moses as a shepherd, and that is he watered them, he protected them, he guided them. The sheep tells us about Moses and in Exodus chapter 2. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered the flock. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his brother-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of even Mount Horeb. And so here Moses, he's a picture of how he protects the flock. He cares for the flock. That's a perfect thing of the perfect shepherd. And you see that in Jesus. We're going to see that in Jesus. And then there's the fifth one is David. And David, you remember, he's pictured as jeopardizing his very life for the sheep. He's willing to die for the sheep. And David is persuading Saul to let him go and fight the giant. And the giant is about 10 feet tall. And David is just a sapling of a boy. He's still a lad. And Saul says, Goliath is a man of war. And you're only a child. You can't stand up to him. But David was willing to jeopardize his life. And so that's a picture of Jesus. How he comes and he gives his life. Jesus' pictures is typified through these lesser shepherds, all five of them. He's seen a little bit about the good shepherd in all five of them. Jesus, so we see, is the New Testament, is the perfect shepherd. The others were just in part and a little here and there and so on, but he's the perfect shepherd. And he's a provider of every need we have. So the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He's the provider, and he gives us, watches over us. And he provides for all of our physical needs, but he provides for our spiritual needs. And you can't get that down at Walmart or some of those places. It's only a special place. It's the people of God. It's the shepherds that do that. And so he does his keeping and watches over us. And the good shepherd also provides for us. And then the physical realm, young people trust the Savior and work diligently as can. And then put it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Lean on him because he knows you. He loves you. Whether you're a parent, whoever you are, you just come to old age. Just come to the Lord to lean on him and trust in him. We hear from so many people that are older, elderly. Your shut-ins are now. You can't get out, especially in the winter in some parts of the country. But some of you never can get out. You're always there. So we can worship with you and we can pray with you. And so God, Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. He tells how he's going to take care of all you people, all of us who trust him. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better and of more worth than they? See, that's that good shepherd Jesus. He's the protector. He protects us. And there are many hardships in life, and there are dangers in life, and there are things that we don't know which way to turn. And so we just lean on him because he's our protector. He's our guide. He cares for us and loves us. And Jesus will never forget his own friends. Friends may fail us. I've had friends fail me, but Jesus never fails us, and he never deserts us. We can count on him. Sometimes I forsake him, but I've never seen the time that Jesus ever forsook me. And I walked with him now for 88 years. I wish I could have said I lived a perfect life, but it was nothing but perfect. It was just in the flesh so many times. And I failed the Lord, maybe jealousy or envy. Or God knows there's a million sins that the devil can put to you. But he never forsakes me. And Jesus knows all about us. He knows all about you. Every bit about it. He knows every heartbeat that you have. He knows every care. He knows every need that you have. And he's able to supply and provide for all of the things. And if we knew what was coming, we couldn't handle them anyway. But Jesus takes care of them. That Jesus knows the dangers about us. He became a tenant in a body like ours. He walked among us. He knows exactly how where we live. He knows how we ache. He knows how we cry. He understands us completely. He helps us, and we just lean on him and strengthen him. That's the good shepherd. He provides. And then the good shepherd gives us strength to keep us going. His hands are not shortened, nor is his strength abated. God is not infirm and old and with infirmity, but he is strong. He's able to believe. He is able to believe in me and help me. He's able to secure me. He's able in all things to care for us because this wonderful Savior has all strength, and there's nothing too great for him. We're beaten on every turn of the road sometimes, but Jesus never lost a battle. You say, well, he died on the cross. He went there perfectly. He says, God so loved the world, and he gave his son, and it says about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He rejoiced to go to the cross because it looked like a victory for Satan, but it was a greater victory for God because he was paying for the sins of the world. And you and I never would have a speck of chance of getting into heaven had it not been for the Lord Jesus. Jesus has faithful. How faithful he is us. He's never lied to us. He's never deceived us. He's never held up empty promises. He's never led us astray in deceptive talk. We rest our hearts in him. We lean on him completely. He is always there. He will never fail us. And then he also, how many times have I failed him? But no, he never fails me. And Jesus, then the shepherd, is our preserver and our helper. When we come to the end of life, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's always there. and this wonderful Savior will never let us down. And I know that there are times when we think, oh, I don't know, I've failed here, I failed there. But just remember this, there's this wonderful grace of God. And you see, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, He pays for all of our sins, up to the cross when we accepted Jesus, and all of the cross, all of our sins to come. You know what, friends? We hadn't committed any sins. I hadn't committed any sins when Jesus died on the cross. All of my sins were in the future. He paid for them all. It's all settled. And we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of what might happen when we come to the end of life, because He is there. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He comes and He's a perfect shepherd. And He takes us, and when we walk to the end of their life, He walks through the valley of the shadow of death. And He says, I fear no evil. There are some people, well, I had remember a lady years ago, and she had to have help, somebody to take care of her. And when whoever they hired, they said, you are never, ever to say the word death in front of this woman. Don't you mention death. And she's at the verge of death herself. She didn't want to hear one thing about it. But those who know the Lord say, oh, like St. Paul said, it's better to be go to be with the Lord. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's gain. They say it's a great loss when we die. St. Paul says it's a great gain when we die, when we die. Because this dear Lord Jesus comes and He takes us to heaven and He carries us to heaven and He never lets go and He never fails. And you know the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes people say, oh, I don't know, I'm afraid of that. I'm going to tell you something about the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know how long the valley of the shadow of death is? Do you know how long we're in the valley of the shadow of death? This long, bing, that's it. One breath here, the next breath we're in heaven. Well, I said, what about this valley? It's a shadow. It's not the valley of death. Jesus took the sting of death. Jesus went to the cross when it was real. He paid it all. It's only a shadow. Are you scared of a shadow of a dog or the shadow of a knife? What's the matter with you? It's just one breath here and the next breath with the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And I just rejoice in the Lord. Then He is a shepherd because He loves us. He never tires of me. He never gives up on me. He loves so much that He would literally die for me. And that's what He did. And if I had been the only person in the world, He would have died for me. And if you would have been the only one, He would have died for you. And when He died on that cross, He could see your picture. He could see everyone. You say, oh, how can He remember all those names? Well, we got a little inkling in the scriptures. The Bible says the stars. And nobody knows how many stars there are. No, they don't know how many stars in the galaxy. They don't even know how many galaxies there are. You cannot. It's like the sand of the sea. And yet the scriptures tell us God names every star. And if He can do that, He knows all about me. He knows when I'm afraid. And He knows when I'm sad. And He knows when I'm glad. And He knows when I'm sorry for my sins. He knows all about me. And He loves you. He's a wonderful shepherd who cares for us. And His eye is always on us. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. There isn't a time that the enemy can come. He never loses interest in me. I'm more than just a number to Him, a social security number. I talk about numbers. It's told that the hairs of our head are numbered, not counted. There's maybe 3,000 hairs. I don't know. I'm getting less all the time. Who cares? And what Jesus says, they're counted, they're numbered. When one hair falls from your head, there's a number missing. You can't comprehend that, can you? Of course you can't. We're not God. But that's exactly how He is. And He's my God. And He wants to be your God. But He can't be and He won't be until you take His Son, because God is in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And so that's what Jesus says. I want to come into your heart. I want to be in your heart. But I can't come in unless you open the door. It's plain as day. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, he says, take attention to this. Look at what's happening. Jesus Christ, God Himself, is outside your door, knocking at the door of your heart to come in. Would God do that? Me? Measly me? Would He do that? Of course He would. And He knocks, well, hi, how will I hear His voice? How will I know? I'll tell you how you'll know. You'll just know that I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I got to have Jesus. And you just pray then. She says, I stand at the door and knock. He'll never open the door. He says, you have to open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person opens, here's my voice. Here's that little voice, or has that feeling, and opens the door, I will come in. I had a little boy ask me at camp, junior camp, ask me a question that never been asked me before since. He said, what if I ask Jesus to come into my heart and He won't come in? Well, Jesus took care of that. He says, you'll hear my voice and open the door. I will come in and fellowship with Him. That's the wonderful sheep. That's the wonderful of Jesus. And so Jesus talks about it and how that He's just there to help us and love us. And why don't we hear Him? Why don't we come to Him? Well, we're too selfish. We want to do our own thing. We don't want God to tell us anything. Or maybe we're too sinful. We think we're too sinful. I don't know what it is. But the devil will throw everything in your road you can. But this is what Jesus said. John 10, verses 3 to 5. The sheep hear my voice. And that voice, that little voice there, that little something, I just know. And I felt the call to ministry. I didn't hear any voices, nothing. I just knew Jesus wanted me to be a minister. That's all. And right now, all over the world, there's that feeling. I don't know where you're at or what you believe or anything. But there's the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And you open your heart. And you say, oh, I want to have the Holy Spirit. I want Jesus in my heart. But I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But let me tell you what you do. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, pray with me right now. Pray right now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. You see, you don't go back to living in the pig pen. You try to live for the Lord. You'll never be perfect, but you try to be like Jesus. But you'll never be perfect, but you just get on and you get better and closer all the time. And sometimes people say, well, I've got a habit and I keep falling back into that. And then I ask Jesus to forgive me and I do all right for a while and then I fall back again. And how many times will He forgive me? Oh, maybe a million times. You know what the Bible says? God tells us where sin abounded, grace. And grace, there isn't any religion in the world that has grace except Christianity. None of the other religions have it. Grace, that means He's going to give you something you didn't deserve. And He says, my grace is sufficient for you. You failed a dozen times and I'll forgive you every time. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's what that wonderful shepherd is. And so come to Him and put your faith in Him. And just remember, too, that God says that He can do it. Well, listen to how He puts it in Isaiah says, to whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name. He's talking about the stars. He calleth them all by names and by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is any searching of His understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 25, verse 31. You can read that passage. That's the God that's standing at your heart's door right now. That's the God that's asking you to come in. And when you come in, He will be so, He will be with you. And that nearness is just, Paul marvels in the nearness of Christ, in the nearness of Jesus. He says in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." That's the God we're talking about. And that's the God that loves you. And don't turn him away. And don't say you'll do it another day. And you young people, you're lost in the way and you don't know which way to turn. And you're afraid and you're scared. But you just take Jesus into your heart and he'll give you strength. And he'll give you backbone. And he'll give you peace, and he'll give you guidance, and he'll help you every step of the way. And you old gray heads, and you can't get out of bed, you can just lean on Jesus. He knows all about it, and he loves you, and his arms are all around you. And the arms of the Lord are strong. And all the children, the little children, how Jesus loved the children. He took up the little children in his arms, and he said, "All of the little babies and all the little children, they belong to me, they're part of my kingdom." And when they come to the age of accountability, then they have to ask Jesus into their heart. I was 10 years old when I asked Jesus. My daughter Patty was 5. Now she's a grandma, and she still has Jesus. So you have to have Jesus. So you make that prayer. And then if you make that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you write to us and you tell you that we accepted the Lord, we'll send you some literature. We'll help you on the way. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then we have to have you help us. You got to help us. If you think that this ministry is something that God is using, if you think that the Lord is in it, then you have to help us, because we got to pay our way just like anybody else. And if you help us, we'll keep a good record of everything, and we'll spend it carefully, because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. They drive you crazy. They're all over the place, just like a bunch of ants. And they check every penny we get and every penny we send out, and it's all as clean as a hound's tooth. I got a letter from somebody who says, "Hound's tooth, what's that?" See, I'm an old timer. That means we're above board. We're beyond reproach as far as our figures are concerned. See, so you need to send us a gift to help us on the way. And if you'd like to have our Bible study, now we got this little Bible study. It's called The New Song. And The New Song is sent out every month. And this month, our Bible study is about 8 ways to overcome discouragement. 8 ways to overcome discouragement. And they're all biblical ways. They're not things we read from this psychologist and that, and that's from people that tell fortunes and all of that. We cut it from the Bible. And it's as solid as a rock. And you write to us, and I'm going to give it again for those on the shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then we have a film called The New Song. That's our Bible study. But our film is about the heart of a shepherd. And this, it's a story of a boy that accepted Jesus when he was 10 years old. And he became a pastor. And it talks about accepting Jesus. And we sent this to one man who didn't want a thing to do with Christianity. And people had witnessed to him. And when he watched this film, he prayed by himself and prayed to the Lord. And when you talk to the Lord, don't worry about what you say. Just talk your own words and tell him about your sins. And Billy Graham says, if you have some special sins you want to mention, mention them. And you just tell him what it's all about, see. And then if you want to have our new song, we can send that. We'll send our film. And then we have a new little booklet. Do we know, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Answer is yes. I think it's about 10, 12 pages long. And it's all from the Bible. So you write to us, and then we'll write to you, and we'll send you literature and help you with information. But we need to have you all standing by and all praying. And Walter, I just want to say a quick word about the persecuted church. We will not just pray for them on this time, but we pray every day. Pray that God will help them in their terrible trials, their awful sorrows. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying today for the persecuted church, but we're praying for the shut-ins that can't get out, they're sick, maybe hurting. Lord, we pray for the young people as they have decisions to make. Give them guidance and direction. And Lord Jesus, the children, the little children, they can come to you. You says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. You want the little children to come. And dear Jesus, if we do that, we know that you'll help us and guide us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now before I go, I have to tell you something that you must never forget. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. We hear from a lot of people in prisons, and we hear from people that are in all over the world, and God loves you no matter what you've done. It doesn't matter to him. He died for your sins. They're paid for, but you got to have him in your heart to take away those sins. And when you take Jesus, he says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God loves you, and God loves the children. And then I want you also to know that all of the workers on the Christian Worship Hour, we pray for you all the time that you come to Jesus and that you'll get strength and help and that God will be glorified. Every one of us is praying that, and I pray. I do love you. I gave my whole life to the ministry, preaching the gospel, 75 years. And I do it gladly. And if I had 100 lives, I'd give every one of the gospel, preaching the gospel. And it's a gospel of God loves you. You need to love him back. If he loves you, why not return that love and say, dear Jesus, I do love you. And I'm going to serve you the best I can. And he'll accept it and he'll use you. And I'll see you in heaven. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.